prominent restaurant, and I greeted some people. Imagine that. Walked around, and finally, one of my best friends, Brad, came up to me. He said, "New coat, huh?" I said, "Yeah, man, how'd you know?" He said, "Well, the tags are still on the back of it." Now, you think that could never be repeated. This morning, I bought this shirt this week. So what I didn't realize was that I thought I'd gotten all the tags, but there was one tag left under this arm. So when I did the announcement, honestly, when I got back to my seat, I thought Ellen was going to tear my armpit out, getting this thing out. So I want you to do me a favor, turn to the people on the left and right, move around, and just say this. You know what? Pastor Rollin really is nerdy sometimes. Go ahead, do that, will you? Hey, guys. All right, as we begin a new series this morning, it's called Life's Lessons. And really, I want you to understand that we're going to be focusing on Exodus, book of Exodus. And we say, "Oh, my goodness, Ronald, Old Testament." I want to tell you, Old Testament is rich. Just rich. One of the things that I love about God's Word is how absolutely practical it is for our faith. And as we study the life of Moses, we're going to find out that Moses was a whole lot like us. He had ups, he had downs, he blew it from time to time. He had faith from time to time. God used him in great ways from time to time, and God had to correct him from time to time. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? In all reality. So we're going to study about life's most important lessons that really our faith takes us through and enables us to grow and learn from. But I want you to understand something. The very premise of this whole series is built on a foundational principle, and it is this. God, please hear me, God has an unending presence and power in our lives. You see, the Bible informs us four critical things about the Lord. First thing is this, that He is omnipresent. It means that He's everywhere. Listen, here's the truth about the matter. You cannot go anywhere that God is not. But more than that, you cannot find yourself any place that God can't find you. Because that's the power of God. He is omnipresent. He is there. Even when we say, "I don't feel this, please trust me on this." It's a characteristic of God. The second one is that He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. He's all-seeing. Please hear this fact. You and I cannot con God. So many times as we pray, we think, "Am I praying the right thing?" I want to tell you something. If you'll pray the real thing, it'll end up being the right thing. Just be genuine with God. Be open with God. Be vulnerable with God. Be true with God. Because I promise you this, God is true with us. Second is that He is omnipotent. It means all powerful. It means almighty. It means all supreme. The notion of this for you and me is that you and I never have a situation in life that God is not more powerful than. In fact, please hear me say this. When God enters a situation, God by Himself literally alters the dynamics of that situation because He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is almighty. He is all-supreme. And finally, the Bible tells us that God is relentless. God is without constraint in His love and His pursuit of you and me. He is without restraint. His love is so deep, so overwhelming, so absolutely so passionate for you and me, that honestly, God can't get enough of us. Our hope, our prayer, as we come to faith and grow in faith, is that we end up at a place where we can't get enough of God. And see, if we do that, then something powerful takes place in us. One of the things that our faith calls us, literally calls us to understand, is the unending nature, if you will, of God within our lives. I want to call this the God factor. And that God factor in a person of faith is this amazing dynamic that shifts every situation and every circumstance. And now some of you will remember, I love this because there was a movie named August Rush. Any of you ever see that movie? It was a great show, wasn't it? It's a story of a young boy who was unknowingly given up at birth. And he grows into this phenomenal musical, honestly, savant. He hears things nobody else hears. He's able to play things that no one's able to play. He's able to choreograph and to arrange things musically that other people are just dumbfounded just to hear him. But the truth of the matter is he's been given a gift that transcends. Have any of you ever watched the new TV series Songland? And you get to watch these songwriters and these producers collaborate together, and you're sitting there just awed that God puts these kind of gifts in people, that they just honestly hear things that the common person doesn't. Listen, August is having a conversation with his friend Wizard, who Robin Williams plays in the movie. And he says, "Can you hear it, Wizard? Can you hear the music?" He said, "I hear it everywhere. I hear it in the wind. I hear it in the air." And he says, "Honestly, all you have to do is listen." And Wizard responds to him. He says, "August, you know what music is? Music is God's little reminder that there's something else besides us in this universe. It's a harmonic connection between all living beings and things, everywhere, even in the stars." And August says, "Then why don't more people hear it?" And Wizard just simply says, "Because, August, some people just don't listen." My friends, if we can come away from anything today, I hope that there will be something instilled in us as we walk out of this place, that there is a God factor in us and a God factor at work through us in our lives in every situation. We just need to look and listen. I really believe that deep down inside of us, most of us have, if you will, this sense that there's something more, there's something bigger that calls out to us. There's a sense that something is at work with us. There's a sense that everything is not by chance or by happenstance. And as we make our way through this journey of life, that God factor has to be a prominent part for you and me to live faith, take faith, and act out faith. I want you to know it's so important for us. Dallas Willard says that sometimes what we have is a benign attitude towards life. And honestly, he takes this from Romans 1, 19 through 20. And listen to what Paul writes. Paul says, "You and I know the truth about God because God has made it obvious to everyone. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky." You see, the truth of the matter is, notice what he says, "Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. So they have no excuse." I love the phrase he uses. He says, "So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Willard writes in response to those two verses, he said, "Did you know that the traces of God that have always been obvious to the earnest seeker are around the purposeful order that appears within nature and history as well? And it's there by the purposeful interventions." Don't you love that? He's saying God has purposeful interventions in our lives that show up from time to time and in our lives. And the order of events, large and small throughout our world, strongly suggests, and I love this phrase, he says, "to an unbiased observer that there is a providential and personal oversight of our world and our lives." You know, I was talking to a young family just earlier this morning. I said, "You know what, one of the things that I get so excited about in this place is that we're having so many young families who have detached themselves from the church but are finding their way back. And I want to tell you the reason for that. You and I might detach ourselves from God, but this is a promise. God will never detach himself from you because he is that purposeful. He is that intentional to have an ongoing presence and an ongoing power in our lives. This whole series of life's lessons is based on the premise. It is based on an understanding that God was shaping the life of Moses even before Moses was born. Please know, even before Moses could even speak a syllable, there was a divine and powerful God that was at work making preparations. Please hear me. He was making preparations so that Moses would have a voice in the deliverance of God's people from Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 helps us better understand this. Now, I want to tell you something. Exodus chapter 1, at the initial reading and crossover, it's not, quote, quote, an exciting read. However, I promise you this. If we don't have Exodus 1 as a backdrop, if we don't have it with an understanding of the God factor taking place, you and I will miss, we will fail to understand how God strategically and how God powerfully influenced the life of one of Israel's greatest leaders and set in place a literally dynamics that would give him the opportunity to be used of God in a great way. Way before the burning bush, friends. Way before the Israelites parted and walked through the Red Sea as God parted it. You and I are going to see firsthand how God was present in shaping the situation. Way before Moses even arrived on the scene. First thing I want us to share, chapter 1 allows us to better understand a really critical characteristic, and this is it. God is at work in the past. Listen to Exodus 1 through 7. And these are the names of the sons of Jacob who moved to Egypt with their father, each with his family. I want to tell you why this verse is important. Because he tells about the 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. And in all, it says Jacob had 70 descendants in Egypt, including Joseph. And notice what the phrase says. Moses wants us to know. Who was already there. God had taken the past to be powerful in the present. In time, Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that entire generation. He wants you to know, even though the situation changed and the people changed, God was consistently working. But their descendants, the Israelites, notice what it says, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful. And notice his phrase, and they filled the land. Friends, they were prolific. The writer wants us to understand that the present that we're reading about was not divorced from the past. Notice what he says, these are the names. He wants you to know that there were specific people who came, that he orchestrated that a certain group, a certain family would be found there. And in all those people, they represented the whole of Israel. Now, please hear me. These people made their way to Egypt some 350 years before the book of Exodus was ever written. God had already, if you will, providentially preceded them into Egypt, as with their brother Joseph. And many of us know Joseph's story. Many of us know the Bible story of how his brothers hated him. And honestly, Joseph was just socially so ignorant that he would always put himself in a position where his brothers would grow. The text says, and the brothers grew to hate him more. But they sell him. They lie about his death. And yet, in the midst of this evil plan and all of this deception, God used it to position Joseph in a way that he would literally help save Israel from extinction. His brothers had no idea that what they had done, God would turn and use in a way so that they wouldn't starve to death. God was already preparing a person and a way for the people of Israel to exist and to go forward. What did he say in Genesis 50? Joseph looks at his brothers after all of it comes open, and he said, what you intended was to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Please, please hear me, friends. Please hear me. God is not only working in our present, God has worked in our past. there are certain things that sometimes you and I need to reflect on, be mindful of. And as we do, as we look back over our lives and we go through back maybe the journey that we have, I promise you this, if you will take it from a spiritual viewpoint, you will see the fingerprint of God all along your path. Because that's the God factor at work. We need to understand today that our presence, please hear me, our present as God's people is never ever divorced from our past. Centuries, 350 years to be exact, had passed since the original Israelites made their way. But here's what this first part of the passage teaches us. Time had not separated. Time had not separated God's hand from God's people. And you can trust that today. That God's hand is never detached from you. Exodus 1, 6 and 7 said, in time Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that generation. I mean, Moses wants you to know, listen, there's different seasons of life. There's different workings of life. But he promises us that the God factor was still alive, still active, still working out in every season of life. You know what? I want to tell you a great story because I have the real privilege of knowing a lady named Rudy. And for lack of a better word, Rudy is really kind of a giant of the faith. She has worked for Wycliffe Bible Translator. She's been all over the world. Now she is more at home. She spends part of her time in Texas working with them and then part of her time in this area. And she is amazing her whole life. She wrote a book called Yet Another Blessing that just told about the story of all the ministry experiences that she's been in, and you can imagine them at different parts of the world sharing the word and being there where maybe the word's not that appreciated and certainly not that welcome. But in one of those stories, she details a story of when she was in the hospital, critical medical condition, and she's in Johns Hopkins. And she has to make a decision that night that will affect her physically for the rest of her life. And she said as she prayed and prayed, it was amazing to her that the Lord brought back to her a little song that she had heard a man named Dick Reinhold sing it. She remembered it so well, she literally sang it that night. That week that I was seeing her, the week prior to that, she had seen a dear friend of both of ours, Vonda Bowen. And they're not great friends. They just knew each other from church. And Rudy said, Roland, the only thing I can tell you is I felt the Lord prompted me so strongly to give her one of my books. And I thought, Lord, let's be real here. She doesn't even know me. I'm not sure she cares anything about this book. But the Lord prompted her so strongly, that God factor was at work, that she gave her a book. 1 week later, Rudy is headed into her classroom, and Vonda catches her at the door. And Vonda said, Rudy, do you remember that song that you said you didn't know who wrote it? Rudy, you, unbeknownst to you, I wrote that song. And I wondered all my life, God, did it make any difference? God, did it have any effect on any human being's life? And honestly, Vonda's weeping, and she said, thank you. Thank you for telling me that God is faithful when we are faithful. Please hear me say something, friends. God is always at work. God always keeps His promises. And I can promise you this, God is always faithful. He is faithful in the past, and I want you to hear me. He is faithful in the present. Listen to 8 through 11. Eventually, a new king came to power who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Now, what Moses is telling us here is that, listen, change happens. Any of you can relate to this? Change happens. It may not be the change we want. It may not be even the season that we wanted it to happen in. But here's the reality for all of us in life. Change will happen. And the new king said to his people, look, the people of Israel now outnumber us, and they're stronger than we are. we have to make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and they'll fight against us. Then they will escape from the country. So the Egyptians, notice the phrase, so the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. Talk about hating change. Talk about feeling like your life is shifted up under you and you had no part of the decision. Some of you know what that feels like even today. As circumstances in your lives have changed, and we finally understand that parts of change, friends, are just not always pleasant, are they? I mean, listen to the phrase, so the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. You see, the new Pharaoh didn't see them as friends. He saw them as potential foes. His intent was to keep this group as a manageable mass. He would subdue them. But listen to what happened. Verse 11 says, so they appointed brutal slave drivers. Now notice the word that's chosen here. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. You see, we see the God factor not only in the past, we see the God factor right now in the present. God is working in a way to make certain that that covenant that he made with Abraham some almost 400 years before, I want you to know, Abraham, I'm still in touch. I want you to know, I know you've passed, but I haven't passed. And I want you to know, no matter what change happens there, I'm going to work in the midst of change. I'm going to work in the midst of difficulties, even when the change brings with it some unpleasant thing. How many of us have found ourselves in the midst of that? How many of us have been in a company that transitioned, but our place didn't? How many of us have sons or daughters who married an individual that we might say is a little different than we thought he or she would be? How many of us has death or illness struck in ways we've never dreamed? How many of us have gone through divorce and it's ripped the family like a tornado on a spring day? How many of us have seen drug and alcohol and other addictions take hold of a member of our family? How many of us have seen change that is less than perfect? But here's something that we have to hold on to. As God's children, there is something more and something bigger that joins us in each and every situation. There is the reality that you and I live with, that the divine is there, and that the divine will be there every day of every situation of our lives. You see, what's important for us today in this teaching is for you and me to not only hear that, but to learn it in our hearts, to take a hold of it in our hearts, and begin to live in a way that says, we trust this to be true of God. Maxie Dunham said, it's so important for believers to be aware of this fact. Wherever we are in our lives, God is there acting on our behalf. And he literally almost shouts this in his writing. He says, so don't lose faith. Because this God we serve is a faithful God. He is one who works and acts. And it is important, so important, that you and I never lose sight of the God factor. It's important that we paint God into every picture of our lives. It is important that we constantly see God as the backdrop. He's our screensaver, friends. Whenever it pops up, there God is with it. We need to do this so that you and I, Dunham says, are constantly reminded of the faithfulness of God. Friends, please hear this truth. Nothing stays the same except God in the midst of change. Nothing stays the same except God in the midst of change. Please know there is no change that surprises God. To be more pointed on this, I want us to go all the way back to Genesis 15 and listen to what God predicted 400 years before the Exodus ever happened. Then the Lord said to Abraham as he's making the covenant, "Know for certain, Abraham, that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and they will be mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward," he said, "they will come out with great possessions." Isn't that amazing? That God makes this covenant, this declaration to Abraham about his people in Egypt 400 years before it happened. Please hear me, friends. There is no change that surprises God. Remember, the past is always linked to the present. And God has always been at work. And God is at work today. The past is linked to the present. I want to share a story with you. A few years ago, I really believe that this truth may have helped save mine and Ellen's lives. I had to speak in Virginia. We're headed down 109-9, going towards Knightstown to hit the interstate. And we're clicking along there about 60 miles an hour. And as you know, I mean, traffic on there can be heavy sometimes. So we're just driving along, talking, and suddenly, as close to that wall, there was an elderly gentleman driving. I don't know what he was saying. I don't know if he lost focus or what. He pulls into our lane, this close. Now, to our right, there is a bank that drops down 8 to 9 feet, and it's just like this. On the other side of that is another bank straight up, so hitting it head on is not an alternative. So I don't know how we missed him. I remember thinking, that couldn't have been a good coat of paint, or he would have hit us. And we ease on this level, and you're doing 60 miles an hour, and you're on almost a sheer bank like this, and we're running along about an eighth of a mile, and then we see up in front of us there's a concrete embankment coming, so we find our way back up onto the road. We had just found out some hours before that a really dear friend of ours had passed, and Ellen, I mean, we were emotional anyway, and Ellen just burst into tears. It's the emotion of the moment. I'm telling you, man, I had to gift for a minute. All I'm saying is, thank you, Jesus. I knew that we had only been saved by the hand of the Lord. We pulled over, finally got to a place we could stop, and I just stopped, and Ellen goes, "How'd you do that?" About that time, the gentleman who had been following us pulled up, rolled down his window, and he was so kind. He said, "First, I want to know, are you okay?" He said, "I cannot believe he did not hit you." And then he looked and he said, "Tell me, how in the world did you do that?" I want to go back 30 years with an old Jeep that we used on the farm. And I started driving that old Jeep when I was like 12 years old. And my dad would take me into the fields. I would drive in every condition, and he would make me. We would go over terraces. We'd go through creeks. I'd go mudding with my friends. So, I mean, we were constantly driving in different situations in different ways. And the only thing I can tell you is that God took the training from the past and brought it to the present, because here's what I want to share with you. When I was literally going over the side of that cliff, I could hear my dad's voice, and this is what my dad would tell me. "Easy in, Roland, easy out. Don't jerk the wheel, Roland. When you do, it's going to throw you. Don't jerk the wheel." And he would constantly say to me,
easy in, easy out. And I could hear my dad's voice speaking that day. I want you to know something. God works in the past, but please, please hear me. God has the capacity to even take the brokenness of our past and bring you a healing in your present. And finally, let's close with this. God is at work in the future. I don't know possibly a time in my life that I am not more grateful for that than I am today. That we have a hope. Please hear me. That we have a hope that's bigger than us. That we believe in our hearts that God's Holy Spirit really does work. That it's not all dependent on us. But there is someone bigger and something bigger that is present and powerful in our lives. I love what verse 22 leads us to. And it says, and Pharaoh gave this order. He gave it to the midwives and he said this, when the women, Hebrew women give birth, watch as they deliver. If it's a baby boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. But it says, because the midwives feared God. Don't you love that? It literally means they loved God. They refused. And God was good to the midwives. And notice what it says. And the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more and more powerful. You see, Pharaoh believes that this edict, by this edict, he's driving the final nail in the coffin. But what he doesn't factor in is the God factor of God. He doesn't understand that what he termed in the Nile River to become literally a designated burial place, God was going to use that same river to bring Moses, the voice of God, right into Pharaoh's home. And this happened, friends, this happened only because Pharaoh didn't factor in the God factor. I'm going to tell you, friends, I want you to hear me. One of the most amazing things happens when you and I place God in the center of our lives. And it's this fact. Even in the most difficult of times, we find God's trustworthiness being lived out. We find God evident when the odds are against us, when life is not perfect. We find all of that because we are assured of this fact. God is always there, always giving strength, always giving courage, always placing the right people in our paths, even when we don't know it. Hebrews 13:5 just very pointedly, bluntly says to you and me, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not alone. I want to tell you what happens in those difficult situations. I want to tell you what I hope happens. I hope when it does, I hope you and I will bring our faith into any situation, whether that be dire or just difficult. And I hope we will turn to faith in a higher way. I hope that you and I will begin to lean into our faith and not detach ourselves from our faith. I pray that we will lean into Jesus and depend on Jesus and call out to Jesus You see, what I really hope for you and for me, I'm not preaching this to you, I'm preaching this to us. I really hope that what we will do, that in those situations of difficulty, in those situations of struggle, I hope that at some place faith becomes more dominant than the problem. And we take hold of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. We take hold of God because we trust God to take hold of us. Hallelujah. Now this morning, I want to be more specific as I close. I really believe that, you know, Joe and I have talked about this on numerous occasions, that I believe there are some moments in our services where we need to have a moment of response. Maybe it's an opportunity to respond. As I was looking over the sermon early this morning, I believe the Lord nudged me. I believe there's probably some change in our lives. There's probably some situations in our lives. There's probably some struggles in our lives. There may be some situations that are, as we would say, just not perfect circumstances. But today, we need to just simply call out to God and believe that He hears, that He answers, that He loves us that much. And so while the worship team is going to lead us in worship, and I want you to know, man, it's an upbeat song, which I really wanted. I don't want you to leave this place discouraged. I want you to be encouraged that no matter where you are, God is there. And you can sing about His freedom and His blessing with great energy and effort today. And in the same way, you can come and kneel before Him.